At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season 2 of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
A warm and friendly hello, welcome to lovely Las Vegas for Ghost to Ghost Heaps with myself, Greg Heaps Pierce, and now a part of the VSiN family of podcasts, and we've got a tremendous podcast for you today as we're going to go guest-free because most of the guests that will be joining me, they are traveling either from or just doing other things with regards to the NBA Draft Combine, so you got a lot of people are busy on that front, and we're actually going to be leading off by talking in the first segment about what we did wind up seeing out there with regards to the Big Ten and a guy that wound up being in for the NBA Draft and decided to come back, so that's a little bit of a teaser there, and then in the final segment, we're going to be taking a look at some of these NBA Draft decisions that did wind up getting made on Friday, as you did wind up having a couple guys decide to pull back. You did wind up seeing quite a bit of movement with regards to the transfer portal, and I will say this, we did wind up seeing quite a few marquee guys in the transfer portal wind up making their decisions as well, as it feels like things are really starting to come to a head when you do wind up seeing these NBA draft decisions wind up becoming final. We are really going to be seeing things get hot and heavy with regards to the transfer portal, and then from there, I think we're going to have a lot more clarity, and we're going to be able to give you guys those conference previews, be able to take a look at all 32 of them in a deep dive on every last one of them, so that is something to really take a look at. But with that said, I'm going to keep it a little bit shorter today as a result, because we've got a lot of people doing a good job taking a look at the NBA Draft Combine, and they're going to be joining this podcast in future days. And if you do have a question, comment, segment, idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways to offer those in. First one is my Twitter timeline at GUnit_81. Keep in mind, letters M. Naming does not matter, so as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. And the other way is via an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. And then from there, you're able to find whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. Did throw out there the little bit of a teaser that here in the first segment was going to address what we wound up seeing out there in the Big Ten, and that's the fact that Trace Jackson Davis of Indiana has decided that he is going to be returning to school. Guy that last year, once again, big year out there in the Big Ten. 18.5 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 blocks per contest. He joins Hunter Dickinson and notable big men from the Big Ten that have decided to come back to school. As we know, Kofi Coburn, he decided to go pro, so that's a little bit of a hindrance for Illinois. But I mean, it really is the way that the Big Ten winds up being able to build up. I've been talking about it quite a bit on this podcast, the fact that we haven't seen a lot of transfer portal moves. And I mean, this really is the biggest move that has happened with Indiana during the offseason. Mike Woodson did a good job of being able to hit the transfer portal in his first year, but you could tell that a lot of those moves didn't necessarily pay off in droves the way that you would have liked them to. Xavier Johnson, I would argue, actually wound up getting poo-pooed a little bit too much. He came in from Pittsburgh, and I thought that he actually did a halfway decent job, but Parker Stewart was someone that was in there. He did not wind up being able to find a fit. As a result, he decided that he was going to be going back in the transfer portal. I believe that he wound up going to UT Martin, which is where he was a few seasons ago before his father was actually the coach there, wound up very sadly passing away. You wound up seeing someone like a Miller Kopp, just not necessarily do a lot. He was a noted transfer. They just couldn't find minutes in general when it came to Michael Duer as well. So, I mean, it's certainly a case which Indiana has been having a little bit of a rough time with regards to the transfer portal, even though they have embraced it. And a lot of these Big Ten teams, they have not been able to do so. And I think that it's just such a tricky conference to gauge because every single year, the Big Ten, it always feels like they've got teams with a high floor but a low ceiling. That's the best way that I could put it. I'm someone that I was born and raised in the great state of Wisconsin, as a matter of fact. fact, my sister was a Wisconsin Badger. I would like to think that I wound up coming from the Harvard of the Midwest, as is called by Bill Schmidt of Sports Map Radio in UW Oshkosh. So I'm a D3 guy. I've got no bias to any of these teams. So anyone that comes at me during the season saying that I love / hate your favorite team, no, I do not. There is no team that I like more than the others. There's no team that I hate more than the others. Now, obviously, when it comes to Wisconsin teams, I'm able to get a little bit more inside information on a team like UW Green Bay, Wisconsin, rather than the UT, Rio Grande Valley, Vaqueros, and teams like that, but certainly don't wind up showing any bias there. But that said, just in my observations in recent years with regards to the Big Ten, it is a case in which you sort of have to do enough to be able to win games in the Big Ten to be able to make the NCAA tournament. And then when you do wind up seeing those different styles, because it feels like there's really one way to play in the Big Ten, it's through big men, it's very slow, very grimy. We've seen a couple teams try to break the mold, like Nebraska. They bring in Emmanuel Bandamel. They have embraced a little bit more positionless basketball. They were one of the top teams with regards to possessions per game last season. Didn't work out for them. I mean, with Northwestern, they've got a little bit of a decision on their hands as well, because if they're going to be able to get back their star player in Pete Nance, that would be absolutely tremendous for them. But he's in the transfer portal. He's right now taking a look at the NBA draft as well. And really, the only team that has been able to consistently make runs in the NCAA tournament in recent years is Michigan, because I believe that they've made a minimum each out of the last six Sweet 16s. It might actually be seven, and that spans between John Beilein and Juwan Howard, because I think Michigan has done the best job of being able to blend so many things together. You notice that a lot of Big Ten schools, they wind up looking at just the fit itself with regards to being able to bring in transfers, with regards to being able to bring in recruits. And these coaches, while they've got very good styles, they're not necessarily moldable. The reason why I love what Bob Huggins has been able to do at West Virginia over the last few years, and he had a little bit of a rough year this year, but you'll notice that West Virginia has played a lot of different styles in recent years. They were Press Virginia a few seasons ago, and then Derek Culver and Oscar Tshiebwe were there, so they wound up going with a little bit more pack line. They wound up going down low with them. Once Tshiebwe wound up leaving during that 2020-21 season, they were a team that they were really willing to launch threes. They went a little bit more up-tempo last season. You just don't find that in the Big Ten. I mean, with Wisconsin, the mold with them is play very slow, don't turn the ball over, and that's how you're going to win. With Purdue, sign the Giants of the Earth and win very slow, except if we wind up making the NCAA tournament and we play an undersized St. Peter's Peacocks team, then we're not going to play 7'4" Zach Edey, and whenever he is out there, we're going to put him in the worst situations possible, because Matt Painter has no idea how to coach in game. So congratulations right there, but I digress on that. Like, I mean, even Minnesota, someone like a Ben Johnson, him being a Burbank and Dawson Garcia, I have no idea how Dawson Garcia and Jameson Battle are going to be able to work out, but at the very least, he brought in some talent, so I'm willing to give them a little bit of a shot there. Maybe they wind up throwing at the Big Ten a little bit of something that we haven't seen before and winds up throwing them off guard, but it feels like so many of these Big Ten teams, they wind up mortgaging the future for the present, and while they wind up doing well in conference and they wind up getting off to good starts of the season, they're just so kept out with their ceiling that it's not even funny. And you do have Big Ten schools that, because you do wind up having the same exact styles, I do think that it sometimes inflates some of these three-point shooting percentages a little bit. We wind up seeing it with Purdue, because at the beginning of the season, they were absolutely lights out, and then towards back half of the season, when they needed to be able to can those threes, they were unable to do so as well. So I do think that that is something to take a look at, but no question with Indiana, I think that's going to be very interesting to see how Mike Woodson is able to build things up in general, because I mentioned it with them. They wound up hitting the transfer portal very hard last season, and the transfers that they wound up bringing in, they didn't necessarily pan out very well, but he's done a very good job of being able to keep a lot of the guys they wound up having. Christian Lander, who wound up reclassifying, that was actually under the old regime. That was honestly so terrific for them, but I take a look at what they've been able to do this offseason, being able to hit the transfer process, and sometimes you're able to find some good recruits late, and they were able to do a very solid job of doing so. They wound up being able to get Jalen Hood-Schifino, hopefully I'm saying that last name correctly, in there, and then Malik Renew is a 6'8", little bit of a power forward, so they're going to be a little bit more, I guess you'd call it, full at that power forward position. They do wind up losing Race Thompson, so that makes a lot of sense. He's able to pretty much step into that role, not a guy that's going to just wind up shooting threes or anything like that. This is not a stretch guy at right around 6'8", 6'9"-ish, but certainly a guy that's able to come in and he's able to help Indiana run what they like. But I do like what the Hoosiers are doing. They're probably going to need to do a little bit more in the transfer portal, much like I do think that the Big Ten is going to need to. And it's something that I have been addressing on this podcast, because I do think that there are commonalities with the teams that have slash have not been able to make runs in the NCAA tournament and the conferences in general that have been able to. You take a look at the ACC, and they wound up having three teams in the Elite Eight last season. Those three teams, they wound up all having a piece or two that wound up contributing in the transfer portal. Even Theo John at Duke, which I recognize that he wasn't a big cog of theirs, aside from the fact that he had four fouls in the first half of the Final Four, but he was still able to give the team a little bit of toughness. You tell that they needed that veteran leadership, because Duke, out of all the Final Four teams that we've seen, we're going to call it the last two seasons, the 2021 and 2022 Final Fours, they were really the only ones that really had a lot of freshmen on there. You did wind up having a returning player in Jeremy Roach, which sounds like he's back as well, so that is very big for Duke. But I mean, with that, they're really the one team that didn't really embrace the transfer portal, but that's just because they wind up getting five-star after five-star. You take a look at them for this upcoming recruiting class, and they've got three out of the top four recruits according to 247 Sports, and Kyle Filipowski, Derek White, and then you're able to throw in there Derek Lively the second. So, I mean, when you wind up doing that, you know what, that helps things out. We wind up seeing a guy by the name of Anthony Davis with a very good class at Kentucky be able to do some nice things. So there's always exceptions to the rule, but a lot of these teams, they wind up getting one or two key cogs out of the transfer portal. We wind up seeing it with Michigan last year even. You're taking a look at what they wound up getting out there in that backcourt, and so much of what they were able to do was because Devontae Jones, while you wound up having Hunter Dickinson out with a little bit of an ailment against Ohio State, was able to give them that big win, which without it, I don't know if they wound up making the NCAA tournament. He was such a big reason why they made the Sweet 16, in my opinion. It's why these Big 12 schools have been able to take over. You take a look at Remy Martin and the impact that he made for Kansas in their title run. That was big. Brady Manick over there at North Carolina, just that third, fourth, sometimes second banana, just those one or two guys by the transfer portal that are able to help you out. Those are absolutely massive. The Big Ten seems to be lacking that, but with the Big Ten, feels like it's sort of the same song and dance. If Indiana is able to sort of be what we've seen out of Juwan Howard and Michigan, they're able to bring in those one or two guys to be able to help out in the backcourt, I do think that there's a chance that they could be able to rise up, and I do think that there's brightness ahead for Indiana. It's just a case in which I do so very much question this Big Ten. So I do think that it is interesting that Trace Jackson Davis winds up returning to Indiana. He made that official on Friday, and we did wind up seeing quite a few moves with regards to the college basketball landscape on Friday. A couple guys wound up pulling out of the NBA draft. A couple guys wound up making transfer moves. So we're going to be covering those next right here on Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Hoops Peterson, now a part of the VSiN Family Podcast.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back here, lovely Las Vegas, for Ghost Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Hoops Pierce, and now part of the Beeson Family of Podcasts. Like I said, we're going guest-free today, as we did wind up getting quite a bit in the college basketball world on Friday, and I had some thoughts with Trace Jackson Davis going back to Indiana, going back to something I've been saying in the entirety of this offseason, just taking a look at the Big Ten, looking at where they might need to improve a little bit more for them to be able to make those runs in the NCAA tournament. So glad that I was able to get out a nice little segment where I wound up airing my grievances and also giving some kudos where it was deserved as well. Now let's take a look at everything else aside from the Trace Jackson Davis news, which I felt like was really one of the biggest things that we've seen in quite a while in college basketball the last few weeks. So wound up recapping that. Now let's take a look at everything else that we wound up getting on Friday. Adrian Delph has decided that he is going to be indeed turning pro and is not going to be returning to Appalachian State. He led the team last year with 17.5 points, 5.5 boards. Guy that shot right around 40% from three-point range. This is quite a blow for Appalachian State that if you would have been able to have him return, I'm not saying that they would be the top team out there in the Sun Belt or anything like that, but I do think that they'd be quite big contenders. I take a look at what Dustin Kearns has been able to do the last few years at Appalachian State, and this no doubt is a really big blow because they always play relatively solid defense. They don't turn the ball over very much, and they bring in a very good big man in 10-year-old Pearson, who was able to average right around 6 to 7 rebounds per game at Western Illinois, but losing him, that is quite a little bit of a loss. And speaking of losses, you wound up having one loss with South Florida on Friday, and you had one gain with South Florida on Friday. How about if we go with the loss first in Caleb Murphy? He has decided that he is going to be heading to DePaul, and this is another good recruit for DePaul. They have really been tearing it up the last few days, as Murphy right around 11.5 points per contest. Now, liability when it comes to being able to pop threes and being able to do too much at the free throw line. Shot 54.5% at the charity stripe, just 20% from three-point range, but a very elite defender, a guy that was able to give out 3.5 assists, right around 2.3 turnovers per game, former top 100 recruit, and guy that at 6'4 has relatively good versatility. For DePaul, they're going to need to surround him with a little bit more shooting, but certainly a guy that could come in, be able to give this team some good effort. They also bring in Javon Johnson from Iowa State, so I do like what DePaul has been able to do out here in the transfer portal. Losing Javon Freeman, Liberty, no question, hurts a little bit, but being able to get this one in, that is relatively solid. And then we wind up seeing an addition for South Florida in Keyshawn Bryant. If Bryant is able to play the way that he wound up doing two seasons ago at South Carolina, this is going to be big. During that 2020-21 season, in 18 games, wound up giving the team 14.5 points, 4.5 rebounds. Never has been a guy that's been versatile and has been able to pop threes. At 6'5", this last season shot 28% from three, and that's by far his best percentage. But saw a little bit of a dip this year to right around 8.5 points, 4 rebounds per game. Last 2 years has hovered right around a block per contest, so plays a little bit bigger than his size. And with South Florida under Brian Gregory, this has always been a team that has hung their hat on defense. So him being able to come in there, I think that he's going to be a very good fit. And he fits right in with South Florida. Doesn't necessarily shoot threes and free throws well, but plays defense. So you know what? He is going to be just one of the many. And you take a look at Mark Freeman. He was playing out there in the Ohio Valley Conference a few seasons ago at Tennessee State, and he's going to be returning to play at Morehead State. And in his last year out there in the OVC, he absolutely tore it up. How about 17 points, 2 steals, 4.5 assists, only shot right around 28% from 3 in that last season at Tennessee State during the 2020-21 season, but massive numbers. Got to Illinois State this last season and became more of an off-ball shooter, shot 38.5% from 3-point range, right around 9 points, 3.5 assists per contest. And I think the big reason why you didn't wind up seeing him be able to facilitate as much offense is just because of the way that things were structured in general. Now with Mark Freeman, he was someone that would turn the ball over a little bit, but you just take a look at the way that things were built with this team in general, and it was a little bit unstable, especially with the way that you wound up having the ball in the hands of Antonio Reeves so much, because Reeves was a 39% three-point shooter. But I do think that Freeman going back to the Ohio Valley Conference is going to be big. What is going to be massive, though, can he cut down on the turnovers? He has had at least 3.1 turnovers in all three of his years at the college level. With Morehead State, they did wind up having a little bit of an issue with turnovers even last year as well. So that is the big question that I do have with him. There is no question that this is a great name. There's a question as to whether or not he's going to be able to give you production there. Isaiah Pooh Bear Chandler has decided that he's going to be entering in the transfer portal. Began his career at Wichita State, and why was at Wichita State during his last season? Wound up putting up right around 3 points, 2.5 rebounds per game, and right around 12 minutes per contest. Never was necessarily a super highly touted guy, but someone I thought had a little bit of upside. He wound up going to Omaha this last season. Averaged 7.5 points per contest, was limited to just 4 games due to injury, though. So now he is back out there on the market. He is a guy that is in the transfer portal. Was never necessarily one of those highly touted guys, but looked like he was starting to put a little bit of something together before he did wind up getting hurt. So going to be fascinating to see if he winds up getting another shot at the D1 level. This guy is certainly getting another shot at the D1 level, as you've got Jahari Long. He last season was playing at Seton Hall. Well, he wasn't necessarily playing at Seton Hall because he wound up seeing just 1 point per contest, wound up playing in just 5 games last season. But Kevin Willard wound up recruiting him, and he is returning to Kevin Willard as he is going to be going to Maryland. We wind up finding this happening quite a bit. And with Long, this is someone that was very highly touted coming out of high school. 247 Sports with regards to the class of 2020 rated him right around 255th, was a top 45 point guard in that class. I do think that he's going to be able to come in. Probably he's going to see a few more minutes with the way that Maryland has had a little bit of turnover out there in the backcourt. 6'5", someone that's able to guard multiple positions, a little bit more of a pass first guy even in the 5 games they wound up playing, right around 2.2 assists per contest. I don't think that he's going to be a guy that's going to be taking a whole bunch of threes or anything like that, but certainly someone that can facilitate offense when needed. You've got TJ Gadsden. He last season was playing at George Mason, and he has decided that he is going to be going to Canisius. Spent one season with the Patriots, and I've just soured a little bit on Kim English in general. You wound up seeing the back half of the season for George Mason. They haven't done as much with regards to transfer portal this season. He's been doing a good job of being able to recruit and brings a lot of fight, brings a lot of charisma, but certainly a case in which the results were not there in year number one for George Mason in conference, and he's decided that he is going to be going to Canisius. And Canisius has had a little bit of success bringing in guys that were a little bit more, on the bench, shall we say, at a little bit of a bigger school and have been able to plug them in, play them, and have been able to do a solid job. But with Canisius, I do have my question marks with regards to this team coming into the season, as you do wind up losing Abohana, Fofana, Malik Green is also out of the fold for the team. I believe that Jordan Henderson will end up leaving as well, so you didn't necessarily have a great team to start with. They are going to need to be able to get a little bit of rebounding out of the 6'7" Gadsden as well, because the only guy, Jakob Fritz, was they only have one guy that averaged more than 4.5 rebounds per game. That would be Jakob Fritz, and he has been there literally for forever. So a little bit of an issue there. You did wind up seeing quite a few guys go down to the non-D1 level, as well as you've got George Pritchett. He has decided that he is going to be going to Polk State College, and this is very easy for your handicapping. All you need to note is that Mr. Pritchett, he was at the D1 level last season. He's now going down to the non-D1 level. You cross him off your list of guys to be able to evaluate. And for Jacksonville, this is a little bit of a loss, because he spent just 1 year there. He was able to see a couple minutes, 3.5 points per contest, shot 49% from three-point range. Once again, guy that wasn't used a ton, but looked like he was starting to come into his own towards back half of non-conference play. Wound up dealing with a couple of injuries when it came to play out there in the Atlantic Sun, and just decided, you know what, I'm going to go down to the non-D1 level. So going to be interesting to see what he's able to do down there. Wish him nothing but the best. Trenton McLaughlin, he was playing this last season at Central Connecticut State. He has decided that he is going to be going to Northern Arizona. Lumberjacks have been quite active in the transfer portal in recent years, just haven't been able to find a lot of chemistry and a lot of offensive gelling. But with McLaughlin, did wind up putting up some solid numbers this last season. 6 points per contest, shot 40% from three-point range as a 6'6", a little bit of a combo player, actually is a native of Chandler, Arizona, so he's going to be returning a little bit closer to home out there in Flagstaff. And you take a look at what McLaughlin was able to do towards the back half of the season, it was very inconsistent to say the least, because he wound up in the final 8 games of the season scoring 10-plus points in 3 of them, and I think he had 4 or fewer in all the other ones. So very much a feast or famine guy that did, in that time span, by the way, shoot right around 41.5% from 3-point range. You did wind up seeing Anan Moody. He decided that he was going to be transferring from Southern Utah, and he's going to be staying out there in the conference as he is heading to Southern Utah. This is a man that has just been all over the Big Sky at this point. He was playing for North Dakota while they were out there in the Big Sky, then wound up staying there while they were in the Summit League. He goes to Southern Utah for 2 years, and when he was at Southern Utah this last season, very good sharpshooter. Shot 40% from 3-point range, 6.5 points per contest. Now, does nothing with regards to facilitating, doesn't necessarily do a lot with regards to defense, but Montana, with everything that's happened in the transfer portal, they did need to try to pick up someone with regards to a little bit of outside shooting. They certainly have been able to do that, as they wound up losing Derek Carter. Hollinger was a very good sharpshooter with a little bit of size at right around 6'5"-ish. When it comes to Moody, he's right around 6'3", so he's just a touch shorter, but certainly with bringing in guys like Brandon Whitney, Robbie Beasley from last season, this should still be a very solid team. I have a few question marks with this team down low. They were one of the worst rebounding teams in all of college basketball, but being able to bring in Moody with a team that was already shooting well from three-point range, I think is going to be very good for them. Jade Tissé, he was playing at Houston Baptist this last season. I put up some solid numbers, right around 7 points, 2.5 assists per contest. I was actually down from what he had done the previous season. 29% three-point shooter, better than the 18% he had shot the season before, but he has decided that he is going to be going to Holy Cross. Holy Cross has been wholly awful when it comes to their backcourt. They've been able to get quite a bit down low the past few years. I like what Jarrell Gates has been able to bring to the table, and they've actually done a solid job of being able to utilize the transfer portal, but losing Kyrell Luch, that was very, very big for them, as he put up 13 points, 2.5 assists per contest. You've got to think that Tissé is going to have a big part with regards to this offense. You've got Dijon Humphrey, who's going to be coming back. I liked what he wound up seeing in previous years, but this has not been a team that has necessarily had that true facilitator, with Tissé not being a guy that's going to go out there and it's going to go guns blazing from three-point range, but is someone that is a very good pass-first guy. I think that this could actually be a very good fit for them, and well, ever since Bill Carmody wound up stepping down, they've needed a little bit more of this, so that is solid for them. You did wind up seeing Antoine Jacks get all jacks up to enter into the transfer portal. Actually, did wind up getting 4 starts at Fairleigh Dickinson this last year, 2 points, 1.5 assists per contest, so certainly was far from a massive impact guy. He did wind up seeing a couple minutes towards the back half of the season. You take a look at it in the final seven games of the season, was able to give the team right around 2 assists per contest, so was able to do a little bit of facilitating, but certainly not a guy that wound up playing a huge role for this team. We also did wind up seeing another case of a guy following his former coach, as you did wind up seeing Mo Williams go from Alabama State this last season to Jackson State, and Trace Young has decided that he is going to be following him. With Young, was able to do a very solid job this last season at Alabama State, was one of their heart and soul pieces with right around 11.5 points per contest. Actually began his career at Wyoming. Shot from three-point range, 34%, down from the 37% that he shot at Wyoming, but certainly made an impact with 5.5 rebounds per game as a 6'8", little bit of a combo player, probably could afford to gain a couple pounds, 6'8", 180, little bit of a frail frame, but certainly has been a contributor for this Alabama State team, so him being able to go over with his coach at Jackson State, I think that that's going to be very much a good match, and I could see him winding up putting up 13-plus points over there at Jackson State. Nelson Phillips, he last season was at Georgia State, and he's going to be staying in the conference as well, as he's going to Troy. Troy has been trying to build up a little bit more as they wound up taking in Scott Cross from UT Arlington a few seasons ago. And for Scott Cross, he's been able to do a good job with his defense. Offense needs a little bit of work. And for Georgia State, towards the back half of the season, they were playing a little bit better on offense. And Phillips, he wound up having a good year. 7.5 points per contest, 3.5 boards. A guy that is not necessarily going to completely space the floor. Only shot 34% from three. Previous season shot 41%. I think that he's probably going to shoot somewhere in the middle, like 37.5%, but someone that should be able to give this offense a little bit more flow. I think that that's going to be big for a Troy team that they figured it out on the defensive end. Now they need a little bit more on offense, and you take a look at what Georgia State was able to do last year, very balanced towards the back half of the campaign. You wound up seeing Devon Baker. He was playing at Tulane this last season, and he is going to be heading to Ohio and playing for the Bobcats. This is big for them because they did wind up losing quite a few guys this offseason. You lose Mark Sears, a 19-point-per-game scorer. You also wind up losing Ben Venderplas, who had been there literally for forever and a half, but you take a look at Baker, wanted spending his first 3 years at UNC Asheville, and at UNC Asheville, he, for his career at that level, averaged 16 points per contest, shot right around 34% from three at Tulane, took on a little bit of a new identity, only was able to put up 6.5 points per contest. He wound up shooting from three-point range, 24.5% from three. I don't think that he's going to put up the same numbers that he did at UNC Asheville, but certainly I do think that he's going to be able to come in, do a relatively solid job for the team, and he has shown the ability to be able to facilitate. Had 3 assists per contest in his first season at UNC Asheville before becoming a little bit more of a primary shooter, and in all 3 years at Asheville, at least 1.5 steals per contest. He's very good on the ball. Certainly not going to be taking over for Mark Sears or anything like that, but I do think that he can be a nice cog out there in what I think is going to be a solid backcourt. You wind up seeing Jackson Greco. Not of any relation to the Wolf of Wall Street or anything like that. Or I think it's Wall Street Money Talks, whichever one Michael Douglas was in. I forget all of those Wall Street movies, but Mr. Greco has said that he is going to be trying to make money down there at the non-D1 level. He is going to be heading to Anderson College. I doubt that he's getting an NIL deal with Anderson College, but that said, last season at Mercer, he was able to give the team right around 3 points per contest, shot 37.5% for three. Guy that I thought had a little bit of upside, so he is now off the list of guys I need to evaluate for that program, but I will need to evaluate Fresno State a little bit more as Isaiah Moore. He was playing this last season at Southern Miss and was one of the most highly touted JUCO players a few years ago before he wound up going to St. John's. During that 2020-21 season at St. John's, put up solid numbers, 9 points, 5 rebounds per game out there in the Big East, and then this last season out there was Southern Miss, a Southern Miss team that did not wind up playing a lick of defense. 13 points, 7 boards, little bit over a block per contest, shot 31% from three as a 6'10" stretch player. Fresno State going to be losing Orlando Robinson to the, most likely, in my opinion, first, early, second round of the NBA draft. So him being able to come in, that's going to be absolutely massive for our Fresno State team that they wound up winning that college basketball classic the last season. They were actually very much a thorn in the side of so many. He's not going to be the next Orlando Robinson per se. His 3-point shooting is not quite that good, but he could be a guy that winds up being able to dominate down low. They're also bringing in Eduardo Andre, so it's very clear that Fresno State is trying to fill that void that is going to be left by Orlando Robinson. They still should be relevant relatively solid out there in the backcourt. They're going to need those guys to be able to step up a little bit more, but a very solid transfer for this team. Once again, not the same level as Orlando Robinson, but that's just relatively unrealistic, and in my opinion, is a very solid get for Fresno State. I don't think that they'll be taking too much of a step back out there in the Mountain West. And then you did wind up seeing Kendrick Davis officially pull out of the NBA draft. I think that this was very much to be expected because, well, he wound up deciding that he was going to be going to Memphis a few weeks ago. And typically when these guys decide where they're going to transfer to, they typically don't wind up staying in the NBA draft. Typically, if they're really on the borderline, they wait to make a decision until they pull out of the NBA draft. I mean, this is still big for Memphis because he wound up putting up 19.5 points, 4.5 assists, shot 37% from three out there in that same conference last season. And for Memphis, what they've really needed is a point guard that doesn't wind up turning the ball over like he's Sara Lee's Bakery and being able to create turnovers, but certainly a case of which it was sort of to be determined. It's still big for Memphis, but still sort of like broken news is the best way of being able to put it. And then we did wind up seeing a little bit of international news wind up going down on Friday, as well as Arizona has landed Henir Vassar, hopefully I'm saying that correctly, 6'10" gentleman that is going to be part of Arizona's class of 2022. Arizona, with guys like Lauri Markkanen and company, we've seen the pipeline for them being able to bring in international guys and them have success. Kirk Kurisa, you could say what you want about him, but I mean, he's a guy that wanted coming over internationally and he was able to do a solid job of Zulus Tabellus as well. And I don't know if Vassar is necessarily going to be like a Zulus Tabellus or anything like that, but someone who's 6'10", someone that's able to pop some threes over there at the FIBA Under 18 European Challengers event, he had 16.5 points, 11.5 boards, 2.5 assists, and 3.8 blocks per contest. So this guy is able to be a relatively good blocker as well. Once again, I don't think that this guy is going to be quite what like a Zulus Tabellus has been, but he certainly could be a key cog for an Arizona team that I think that Adama Ball, who wanted coming over from France as well, wound up showing a few signs towards the end of the season in the Pac-12 tournament and the NCAA tournament, going to be up as well. Now the question becomes, what winds up happening with Dallin Terry and Christian Coloco? I think Coloco's as good as gone. I think that you might or might not be getting Terry back in the fold. So a couple question marks there, but certainly Arizona winds up being able to bolster itself, and hopefully I'll be able to bolster you guys all season long with regards to college basketball. Right now, we're trying to get a lay of the land. We've got over 1,700 players in the transfer portal, so we're trying to figure out what's all happening with this. Within the next few weeks, we should get a little bit more clarity, and that'll allow me to be able to start previewing some of these smaller conferences, and then once we get towards the back half of the offseason, we'll be taking a look at the Power 5 conferences, doing all those conference previews, as I'm going to do one for all 32 conferences, taking a look at every single school. So if you like what you're hearing from this fine podcast, Coast to Coast Hoops, and if you're looking forward to that, you're able to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you've got a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways we offer those in. First one is my Twitter timeline at GUnit_81. Keep in mind, letter CM. The name does not matter, so as per usual, please just send these in the timeline, and the other way is via an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast by the 5-star review coming at you guys every single day this year, whether it be the off season or the regular season. Once we hit the regular season, it's an analysis on every single game every single day. So I'll chat at you once again tomorrow. Thank you so much for tuning in.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season 2 of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.